out of here. But anyway, your global radio network, circling this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, hey, almost have a full panel here tonight. Hey, I see, Mad Mike is in the house. Hey, Mad, what's going on, dude?
Is that feedback coming from me?
It was earlier. Now, if you have a microphone on your computer or headset, that might work. Now, did you hook up your headset?
I have one.
Yeah, okay. You don't have to because generally we don't
get that right now. Are you okay?
No, no, I'm good. Okay. But check any external speakers that you might have going on.
I had the external speaker kind of turned up high when I was listening to your music. You know I actually listen to you, right?
I know you do. I get the text messages.
I had the speaker turned up kind of high, so that might have been the feedback.
Yeah, and you do. And thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Mike listens to all of our shows practically. And Mike and I, for those of you who don't know, we have a show that comes on each and every Thursday called Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast. Right? Dr. Sims, you know about that. Hey, how are you? I hope you're feeling better, my friend.
I'm doing a little bit better, yes.
Oh, you're a trooper. Thank you so much for joining the program. I didn't know that you...
Oh, my goodness, did William harass you into being here? You sound kind of hoarse.
Yes, he did.
Why are you messing with Big Sister? Oh.
No.
Leave her alone.
Oh, see? I don't get this. Mike, Dr. Demery, are you ever going to jump in and have my back?
For what? What are you wrong?
Big sister. If you want to rest, I got you.
No, that was.
I might get off early.
Okay. See, she's gone. She's trying to garner sympathy. Now, are you going to tell the panel that I did call you? Didn't I call to check on you, Dr. Sims, and I was very nice.
On Sunday before the broadcast?
No, I talked to you a few days ago, didn't I?
You did, but you called me today, and you should have called me earlier than today.
Uh-oh. You know something, William? When you find yourself in a deep, dark hole, you stop.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Hey, guys, have you guys been watching the football games? Oh, my goodness. I've been having a great, great time watching.
He sure switched up the topic.
I told him to stop digging.
We are so hip to that game.
Oh, see, Dr. Sims, she's not telling you guys the whole truth. I called her. I said, Dr. Sims, I'm calling to find out how you were doing. How are you, Dr. Sims?
You arguing with you right now.
When
you
called me the other time, I don't know what you was on, if you had a couple of Nipsey little shots. Was cutting up, and I told you I could not do this with you. And you,
I just cracked a few jokes, and you laughed.
No, I couldn't do this with you. I'm like, you on one.
I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Okay.
You want me to tell the truth? That's the truth.
All right.
Didn't you thank me for calling you?
I did, but okay. I told you I couldn't go there with you where you were trying to take me.
Where was I trying to take you? Come on, let's throw it all out in the open right now.
No, you were being jokish, and you were just being William.
See there? And you can tell by the sound of her voice, she is not in the mood for this today. What's wrong with you, William?
Oh, see, I just knew it. Dr. Dimmer, you know, you can jump in anytime you like.
Well, see, when you're old as Black Pepper,
Dr. Demery.
It's okay.
Dr. Demery, I know who to call on you.
You know what? They don't have enough sense to apologize, so I'm going to apologize for them.
Oh, isn't it something? I just knew it. Uh-huh.
William, let her go rest now. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you next week, sister.
Child, it took me a minute to get dressed, so I'm staying, but just leave me alone.
He said it took a minute to get dressed. William, you and I going to have words about this because
I'm sure of that. And see, Dr. Sims set me up. And she set me up because it didn't go anything like what she was talking about. So, anyway.
William, stop trying to tell a story. You know, God going to get you.
Oh, Lord.
God's going to get you.
William, I'd like to help you out, but I'm all the way over here in California.
Okay. And I am too, Mike.
Speaking of California,
not telling the truth. Okay.
Okay.
So, William,
okay.
You stop it before you dig a hole that you cannot.
Oh my goodness.
And God ain't gonna rescue you.
See? Oh, okay.
And
anyway.
You either, Dr. Demery.
Somebody. Que linda, pobrecita.
Oh, silencio, por favor. I know poquito español. Don't mess with me.
Oh my goodness. So anyway. I hope you guys have been, are enjoying your Sunday. Yeah, you too, Ann. All right.
Well, I was until I saw there's been another mass shooting in California.
When?
I know.
The sixth one, it was like 2:30 a.m. last night. They, three people dead, others injured. Yeah. And it happened in like the Beverly Hills area, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was a high rent district.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I don't know what's going on. What else has to happen before we do something about this? It's crazy.
It is crazy.
No other country that's as prosperous as America deals with mass shootings like this.
We have more than anyone, more gun violence than anyone. And Mike, you can address this too, because this all ties in, to our topic tonight, which is we're addressing domestic violence, tonight. Mm-hmm. Again, this is part two. Last week it was the three of us, Mike, and Dr. Demery, we were on, and we had a discussion that needed to be had. And until we get people in power who have some common sense, okay, and have a plan, we're going to always face this thing. And there's so much goes in it. Mike has he puts things, people, whatever, in two categories. Good and evil. Am I right, Mike?
All you need. You don't need to separate us any further.
I'm telling you. And so there's no need for this, okay? We talk about this often. We talk about the violence that goes on in this country. And, you know, amazingly, I was looking up some stats. And I was looking at the countries. Now, gun violence, domestic violence, we're talking about two different things here. And in some cases, it is the same. But the United States is not even a top 100 as far as domestic violence is concerned. Can you believe that? I would have guessed that we were up in the top 10 somewhere. But Afghanistan is number one. And then
you gotta understand, wherever women don't have rights, then it's going to be higher. Depending on the country, women can be treated like their children by their husband.
Or possession.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So, when people start talking about human rights violations, especially against, you know, women and like children, not having labor laws and that type of stuff, it's really serious. So yeah, we're bad, but we're not that bad.
Yeah, we are that bad, but we're not as bad. You know, it's oh my God, this is kind of crazy. You know, I'm bad, but you worse than I am. But see, it's all really, really bad because it's horrible here in the United States. Can you imagine that we're not even in the top 100? And I think I went down to 110. We're not listed there. I'm saying, oh my God. What surprised me was places like around 75. You guys can fact check me if you like. Is Sweden, France, places like that. I said, whoa, you know, and you don't think about those places because we don't hear much about. There's not a lot of information that comes out of those places. You know, the Netherlands, Sweden, Amsterdam, even Germany, we don't get a lot of we don't know what's going on there. I don't think they're in the top 100.
Because we don't read. America's only really concerned about America. If you ever,
and see, that's a problem.
Something like the BBC, you might learn about what's going on in other places. I like to read the BBC and some other publications that aren't necessarily just centered on what's going on in America. The World News will give you, you know, the highlights about what's going on globally, but there are other publications out there that are very reputable and that do a really good job of kind of keeping you up with politics in other areas, and what they even have going on in terms of, say, their health and fitness stats. Like, we're not the only fat country in the world. There's an obesity epidemic with pretty much the entire globe now. There's a lot to learn if we just kind of branch out of our what do you call it, ethnocentric media. So,
yeah, absolutely. Because you remember, when China was really, now China is still, absolutely a world power. There's no question about it. But there was one time when they were considered the most powerful nation on earth, right? Yeah, but what happened, what came and what led to their demise as far as being where they were? And that's because of the Great Wall of China. They knew they had brilliance there. They knew they had architecture. They knew they had medicine. They knew they had. So they decided to wall off the world. But anytime you do that, like you said, Mike, they got stuck in their own bubble, you see. And so, nothing was going out, but nothing was coming in as far as information and things of that nature is concerned. Hey, Brother Tisdale, welcome to the panel, sir.
Thank you. Hey, hello to everyone.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I hope everybody's doing great in 23.
23.
Well, actually, William has forced Dr. Sims to be on the show knowing she wasn't feeling well. He's just being low down today. We got to have words later. Off the air, I can't say stuff
that he needs. You gonna get it.
Yeah, you set me up. Dr. Sims set me up.
I did not set you up. You do it to yourself and then you blame everybody else. Oh. Listen, this is 2023. You're gonna be held responsible for your deeds.
Oh, see? Okay. Brother Tisdale.
Yes, sir.
That's not the way it is. That's not the way it happened. And that's not what went down. I called, and I'm going to say this for the last time, to uplift my sister, to give her some encouraging words, maybe crack a smile a little bit, and, you know, and just tell her we were thinking about her and stuff like that. And then she comes on the panel tonight and just flipped the script. And so, Ann, you know how those two ride together. You know how they do, right? Mike, I wouldn't want to meet these two in a dark alley after this show. You know, I wouldn't
want to come in my alley.
You keep daring us to meet you in a dark alley.
Hey, you don't need to get in the alley. Don't find you where you're at. You don't need to get in the dark alley. And I'm glad I'm in California, because when that lightning bolt hit you, William, I know you're on the other side of the United States.
Well, thank you, Mike, my good friend. Okay. Daniel, are you going to jump in and help a brother, or, you know, you going?
Well, man, I just want to say that since I missed all of it, I don't know where we're at, but you
ain't in it, right? Like,
rubbing folk, you know, Will. You need to put rubbing on them like that.
Wait. Danny, just tell William his hair looks nice and leave it alone.
Sims, you don't look sick. You look fantastic. So glad you don't look black, and hope you get to feeling better.
Thank you so much. Always. Now, I will say this about William. Now, the first time he called, but he was cutting up, though. And I'm going to tell the truth. You were cutting up, William.
Uh-huh.
I was in the bed sick, and you wanted to take me there, jokey. And I'm like, William, I couldn't. I can't do this with you. And you kept it up, and I had to tell you goodbye. And so then today he calls. I didn't talk to you personally, William. You just left a message.
Uh-huh.
So let's dispel that right now. You said first you called to see how I was doing. Then I'm calling to see if you're going to be on today.
What?
And you told me if I am. You said you were sending me the link to it anyway.
Uh-huh.
But basically you called me to see what I was doing. I mean, how I was feeling.
Uh-huh.
So I did not talk with you personally. But the first time you called me, you was cutting up. You was. I talked to you then. You was cutting up.
Okay. I have the tape. I have the tape.
Oh no, I have the message as well. So you can play the tape all you want to. I don't know where you're getting it from. I might be sick, but I ain't stupid or blind.
Okay. All right. You know, moving right along, folks. We'll just get into the subject matter today, which happens to be domestic violence. You know, and it comes in many forms. Okay. All right, and we can talk about that later. But anyway, Brother Tisdale.
Yeah.
Brother Tisdale, he joined us. I talked to him earlier, and he said he was watching that football game. Now, what does football and domestic violence have to do with one another? And we're going to get into that, because Mike is going to recap some of what we talked about last week. And what are the top 10 vocations or businesses that actually – have the highest rate of domestic violence abusers. Okay?
Probably the sports industry, yeah.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, let's do this. Why don't we do this and kick it off that way? Mike, why don't you, you have the top 10 at your, at your disposal.
Let's go. I do, sir.
Let's play.
Some of this shocked me and some of it did not. But in the top 10, going from 10 to 1, by profession, domestic violence by profession, and we've all seen this, but the National Hockey League is number 10. Number 9 is the National Football League. And again, this is by domestic violence by profession. Number 8 is MMA fighters. Number 7, this one kind of took me off guard, was people that work in customer service. They have to deal with the public all the time.
I can understand.
And then the one next to that is kind of similar, the clerks. So again, dealing with the public. This one, I didn't know where this one came from at all, but people that work in the textile industry. So that one caught me off guard also. Nurses is number 4.
Wow.
Now keep in mind you got male nurses and female nurses, right? So right. Number 4 is nurses. The last 3 really didn't take me by surprise at all. So number 3 was people in the military. Soldiers. Number 2 and number 1 are kind of interrelated. Number 2 is correctional officers. And I'm quite ashamed to say the number 1. But I believe it because I've seen it. Number 1 is police officers.
Yeah.
And if you look at what's going on around our nation right now.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
A lot of violence.
Right.
So there's the top 10 by profession.
That's, you know, Mike and I, we had that and, we've got to address it. We've got to address, there is a problem here in America as far as policing is concerned. And, I, for one, say there has to be some reform. What I witnessed that came out of Memphis, Tennessee, was absolutely horrific.
I couldn't watch it. I didn't watch that video. I mean, the George Floyd one was hard enough, and I didn't even see the whole thing. I just can't imagine.
Oh, and I forced myself to watch it. I'm saying, okay. And it was, that didn't have to happen. And I want Mike to jump in that, and also Dr. Dimmer, because both of them are,
have worked in that area.
In that area, former law officials, right? Mike as an investigator and Dr. Dimmery as a police officer. Mm-hmm. And you look at the aggression that happened during that video. I mean, it did not happen. The man was, Dr. Ritchie, there's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Ritchie that has a program on the TYT network. And he has a phrase that happens that he says each and every time something like this happens. He said, because you may need to or be required to meet a judge, that doesn't mean that you need to meet your maker.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Police officers jump in here anytime Mike and Dr. Dimmery. That is not their job to be judge, jury, and executioner.
Your job in law enforcement is to determine whether a crime may have been committed or was committed. And Dr. Dimmery backed me up on this one. You are not allowed to do what's called curbside justice. That's not your place. You get paid an awful lot of money. And they do. Law enforcement in general get paid really good money, really good benefits and such. You get paid to maintain yourself, to control yourself, and to abide by your training and the law. You're not supposed to go outside those boundaries at all. In fact, when you do things like that, this is what happens. You see people get hurt, see people die, you see injustice occur, and you look at man's inhumanity to man. Dr. Demery?
You're muted, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, and there was, you know, in the city I grew up in, the city of Redlands, it was very divided, and there was a lot of racism. Mm. People don't think that, but I remember going to the Sylvan Plunge in Redlands, and the white folks got to swim first, the Hispanics and Asians swam second, the black folks swam last, and then they drained the pool after we finished. And I remember, Mom, how come they drained the pool after we finished? He said, well, son, in the great mind, you will understand. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, finally did. But the thing was, I was always afraid of police officers. And when I became one, I said, I will never become that which I was afraid of.
Right.
So I think part of the issue has to be is each police officer has to have moral fiber within themselves and be able to soul search and be able to say, look, I am not going to be like that. And unfortunately, the difficult thing is that you have to sometimes take a stand against other police officers. And when you see them doing wrong, which sometimes happens, there's that code of silence amongst police officers where they will not tattletale on another one. But it first has to begin with yourself on a personal note to say, I am not going to be like that. So what I did was I had a strong moral fiber. I said, I will never beat no one unless I have to in terms of protecting my life or someone else's life. And I think when you have that standard, it allows you to have a little higher moral character in the job, in respect, like what LAPD says on the side of their cards, to protect and to serve. Mm-hmm. And I think once you do that, it allows you to have a higher, more fiber. But unfortunately, you know, there's a few bad apples there, and those are the ones that get made an exception rule to the fact that this is the way all cops are. And they, you know, there are a lot of very good, have high moral fiber, but unfortunately, you get a few of these knuckleheads out there, nincompoops, that are, you know, just like Mike was saying, they have their own set of morals, and have these hit squads. I call them hit squads, but you know, they have fancy names for, like in Memphis, they were called the Scorpion Squad or something like that. And the LAPD, the enforcer unit, and each department has a group that they have a name for it. But I think, you know, you have to have moral fiber, and it has to begin there.
Right. Hey, Mike, right. I got a question. I got a question for you. There are some units law enforcement and police officers around the country in different departments now. They are incorporating something that is more rigorous in their background check, mental health, mental evaluations, and things of that nature. I think the one of these problems is that these jobs, as far as being in law enforcement officers, in many cases, especially in the South and rural areas, it's cronyism. My granddad was a cop. My dad was a cop. Oh, I'm gonna be a cop. And it has nothing to do with my qualifications. It's because, I knew somebody that knew somebody, I was able to get that job. Now, the granddad could have been, as corrupt as all outdoors, and so could the dad. And now this thing passing down from generation to generation to generation. So let's break this up into two parts.
Well, how much of it's a little bit more involved with cops. I mean, you have to go through training, and you got to pass some things before. You can't just be who you know.
Yeah, well, and if you go down in the deep South, no, ma'am. In some cases,
let's talk about the ones like, say, for instance, LAPD. I'm pretty sure they've got a pretty rigorous testing standard that they have to go through. Now, if you're talking about a rural area where you gotta, vote on who's gonna be the county sheriff, that's different. if we're talking about some type of election or whatever. But for the most part, cops do have to go through some type of at least basic training.
They have to go through basic training. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that so many slip through the cracks. Mike, I tell you what. You and Dr. Demery, you're better at this than I am. But I know about stories where people they slip through the cracks, and there's favoritism. Hold on. There's favoritism in a lot of companies that we work for. And the police department is no different than that. Okay? A lot of times people get jobs because of who they know. It's not necessarily due to their qualifications. Okay? And this happened a lot in law enforcement. Mike, what's your pitch, your opinion on this? Because you're most you're closer to this than we are.
Well, I will tell you from my personal experience that our department, my department, Santa Maria County Sheriff's Department, we had, there's nepotism that goes on, but I will tell you the multi-generational officers that I worked with actually were cleaner in their way of going about doing law enforcement. Maybe because they were mentored by really good fathers or grandfathers. Like I said, I know of three generations that are still working for the department. Of course, the older ones have retired out. But they tended to be the kinder, nicer, better trained, maybe because our department doesn't put up with the nonsense. I can tell you I worked for five sheriffs in this county, and there was one that was on the corrupt side of things, I believe. Got himself into trouble, rightfully so. The rest of the four that I worked for were exemplary in their pursuit of having kind, gentle officers that are there for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. A lot of people get involved in the law enforcement for the wrong reasons. Those are what I like to call the chest beaters. But our department was very good about weeding them out. In fact, you hear bad things about LAPD and LA sheriffs all the time. You rarely ever hear anything bad about San Maria County sheriffs because, again, it was from the top down that the people that were from the sheriff on down throughout the from the deputy chiefs to the captains to the lieutenants and stuff, they were all put in those positions because they were like-minded. And the like-mindedness of my department, I'm proud to say, was they don't put up with this nonsense. So that's my experience with it.
Brother Tisdale.
If I could just jump in right here, and even out of all the billions of dollars of training that has been afforded to law enforcement, we still have a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a problem of the heart. Now, there are people that do have moral fiber and they have integrity, but my brother-in-law was the chief of police for the Dallas Police Department for many years.
Wow.
And he came back and he told me one day, he says, Danny, he said, understand this. We are here to protect white people from you.
Wow.
Now, that sounds real harsh, but it's true. From chattel slavery to now, the police department has been set up the way that it is. And it's broken, and it's been broken for centuries. Not in the last few years. It just rears its head even more because it's hard to hide the truth when you got cameras everywhere.
Wow.
I love the cameras. I personally love the cameras.
Can I say something too in here?
Yes, please.
I've been watching, and I've been watching all the murders that have been taking place, and also the character of police officers. I'm starting to pay more attention. My son is a sergeant on the police force, and so I have a daughter who's also on the sheriff's department. And then too, as I told William years ago, when I was trying to find my niche, as far as in the business world, I work for the police department.
Wow.
And I had the privilege of doing dispatch and also homicide. And then some of the attributes, the characters of some of those police officers were horrible. Deplorable. And these same attributes are being carried today. And the reason why I say this is because they are not being held accountable for their actions. And what it is because of their code of silencing. I heard last week, doing just some other things and listening to this police officer, and he was speaking from his car. And he says that because of the code of silence that they have between each other, these kinds of things is going on, and the high upper echelon, some of them are just as wicked as the lower. In rank. And so when you have a hostile environment within the police force,
that's right.
Who is safe anymore? And now, Danny, I'm going to piggyback on something you said, and I know this is actual facts. where they instill fears in our white brothers regarding the blacks.
That's right.
I don't get it. We have never done anything to anybody. And for them to instill that type of fear. And so guess what? The police force, I believe, had that. I'm going to get you before you get me. Okay? That kind of appetite. Not trying to find out or dispel a situation. It's just a, when this travesty with this Tyree, these brothers came up pulling guns already on this young man. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so now we're going to have, and I tell people, we're going to end up having a war within the United States because people are getting tired of this foolishness. All right. And the first thing, now here's the problem that I'm having too, is that these police officers are supposed to know the law. Mm. Okay. They're supposed to know the Constitution. How come many of them don't when they're asked? How many of them don't know when you have a lay person, should I say, that they're trying to bogart their way on? Mm. How come when they ask them, do you know this amendment? Do you know this law? Do you know the police officer look at them like they got, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And it's like they don't know what the law actually is. But then they still try to enforce their authority because they have a badge and a gun. Some people cannot handle power. They cannot handle power because it makes them feel like they have a sense of entitlement. And I'm going to go here because I'm a mental health specialist. I watch them. A lot of them are so narcissistic and they are demonized. I don't care what anybody says. They are demonized and their sense of humanity is gone out the door. Not all of them. And the ones I feel that are the good ones, they have to be silent. Because I heard a police officer say, he said, snitches end up in ditches. But ends up in ditches. And who's to say who got rid of them? Because there's always a great cover-up. Because you have a whole lot of them that are in secret circles within the police force. You have KKK in there. Come on, let's be real. You have people who are prejudiced, people who are hateful, people who are getting into these positions to bogart their place and to capitalize off the an ignorant people to gain monetary gain from them. People don't want to be real and talk about, I'm so sick of sugarcoating stuff. Let's call it what it is. They need Jesus, period. They really need Jesus. And all this self, this thing that an army within an army, a protection within. I don't want, I had a police officer come to my door and woke me up. And I went to the door and I asked him, you know, being polite. He asked me if I heard anything. Somebody is supposedly committing suicide. And I told him no, I was sleeping. And he asked me my name. I said, what did you need my name for? First thing out of his mouth, he says, I didn't come to hurt you. Why would you say that? Okay? No, I didn't feel that way. And maybe he was trying to put me at ease. But because, I guess, because of the police force have bogarted their way in people's houses. I'm talking about, you fit the profile. I'm so sick of hearing that. You fit the profile. Well, what profile are you talking about?
Okay. Right.
All black men now fit in a profile. Okay. And so this thing to me needs to get out the door because I think they have hunting season. They have hunting seasons. Okay. Because you get like a silence, then all of a sudden all hell is breaking loose. Okay. And then people are being stopped for no reason. All right. And then, too, what they do is they agitate a situation when it's not necessary. I watch them, and the people are in compliance with them, and they agitate it. They walk up on them. They get in their faces. They say unkind words to people. And then, naturally, the people are on air, on edge, because of, in light of, the recent activities that we all see. So everybody is on guard. And so they know that. Everybody want to take care of themselves and live. The first thing out of people's mouth is, and children's mouth, don't shoot my daddy. Don't shoot my mommy. Don't arrest my daddy. Don't hurt them. Because children have seen this. And you have some sad police officers who've made it bad for the good ones. And then the good ones have to be silenced. And let's just be real. Let's carry it everywhere. It's just not in the police department. It's in our churches. politics. Listen, those.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that too.
Okay, all right.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, I wanna jump.
It's horrible.
Let me. I wanna talk to Mike just for a second here, because Mike and I. I'm getting some feedback from someone. Okay, Mike and I, we've had these conversations, Dr. Sims, and I had to, when I was on in the West Coast, I wasn't that far away from Mike, and we used to visit often, have lunch and talk, and you know, a meeting in my office or where he worked. You know, I even had a chance to go down to what lab was that, Mike, where you analyzed bullet fragments or whatever?
That was our crime lab, and crime. I took you into the ballistics.
Yeah, that was
of the crime lab.
That was fascinating. That was absolutely fascinating. Yeah. And I asked Mike some questions because there were, and always around the country, but in California, any and everything happens, right? And so I was asking Mike, I said, Mike, with all things that you run into, like whether it's a domestic violence situation where this guy has totally abused a woman or a child or a man or a woman abusing these people, I said, how do you maintain your cool? And Mike, I want you to tell the panel what you say, because I do know for a fact Mike is one of those good guys. And there are several like Mike there. And you know, it's just like the old saying, one bad apple can ruin the whole bunch. Now, I know we're talking about more than one bad apple. Let's talk, but let's be real. You know, there are, like Ann said or someone said, there are gangs within gangs. Or Dr. Dimmer, you, Sims, you may have said that. But there are a bunch of good guys. And then some of them do speak up. Mike, as much as you can share, I want you to talk about you de-escalating a situation that you were on. What did you say about being able to maintain your cool and your professionalism and treating people like they were human beings, right? And your involvement as far as stopping some of this stuff, or as much as you can. You know, we talked off air, and there's certain things that I know that you can share, and some things that are very sensitive. So, Mike.
Well, let me begin with what I said a little earlier, is when you go into law enforcement, generally you get paid very, very well. And you get paid to maintain your composure. You get paid and trained to de-escalate, not what Dr. Sims is talking about, where you're poking the bear and escalating things. Because you can annoy people just with your words and get them to act and react. So I completely believe everything she said. But again, you get paid a whole lot of money to do your job. Do your damn job. You're not out there to dispense the curbside justice I spoke about earlier. I believe part of the problem is ego. Because they maybe they don't get into law enforcement for the money necessarily, but a lot of them get into it for the control. The only way some people, and this goes beyond law enforcement, the only way some people can feel good about themselves is by standing literally or figuratively on the necks of others. So they get into it for the wrong reason, because they're the chest beaters. I can tell you, I believe I'm very fortunate in that I work for a very clean department as far as violence goes, because it wasn't tolerated. And when it was found out, you were gone, or you were severely disciplined. And my department, I worked with people from all races and worked together very well. And the ladies as well, they were in there right now. I had one, she was a corporal at the time, and there was three of us trying to arrest this person. And that person was just giving the three of us guys help. This lady officer, this lady deputy, jumps on top of us, kills the three. Now, keep in mind, she is maybe weighed 150. She jumped on top of us, threw us to the side, and she cuffed this guy. She was amazing. I have nothing but great respect for the ladies and the gentlemen that I worked with. And again, I was in a position, fortunately, that I had the ear of people above me, and I could, if I saw problems coming, I could go to them. One of the problems that I saw with our department was at the academy. You get these, not at the academy, but because of the academy, you get brand new officers out of the academy, and where do they put them? They put them into the jail system. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the deputies that got what's referred to as rolled up, or disciplined, in other words, we call it getting rolled up. But a lot of those officers that were rolled up and disciplined, they put them back in the jail facility. So now you got these empty sponge minds of the new academy people going into the jail system where you've got jaded officers that have got rolled up and put in there to get them off the street so you don't get the department in some type of liability lawsuit. So I brought that up to the department and addressed it to some degree, but we had a lot of violence going on in the jails, and it's been curtailed a great deal. At least last time I was around, they were handling it properly. So, is that what you wanted, William?
I want to say, I think going back to regress for a moment, what Dr. Sims was saying, and like I said, you know, it's been a while since I was a cop in the late 60s and the early 70s. And I can tell you this is from my heart. And it pains me to say this. There was a lot of racism. I mean, a lot of racism on the police department. And when you're the only cop, me, when I was in Fontana, I was the only black cop on the department. There was racism. I mean, I'm just going to tell you. And it was horrible, you know? And the thing is that I think what Mike is relaying is true. Things have changed a lot. And I think they're going to change more. But I'm going to tell you, when I was a cop, there was a lot of racism. I mean, you know, it was almost to the point where I remember when I was in Fontana, I had Al Jury. Some of you remember know who Al Jury was. He was a professional football referee, but he was also a highway patrolman. And back then in Fontana, the highway patrolman, sometimes their backup would be 30 minutes away, and sometimes it'd be further away than that. And they're usually two in a car, but back then there was only one in a car, and they carried a revolver with those dump pouches where they had to use that to reload their gun instead of using speed loaders, which is like insane. But the point being was that sometimes he would call me up and say, "Hey, Rudy, can you come and back me up? Because my backup is a long ways away." And I would go back him up sometimes on the 10 freeway, or remember where Fontana runs up along the 15? Mm-hmm. I would get there much closer than his backup would get there. And much of it, I'm just going to be honest, I know you guys don't want to hear this, but much of it was because when they found out it was a black officer pulling somebody over, they would take their time getting there. And I would get there, and he would back me up sometimes. And I hate to say that, and I know it sounds bad.
It's real, though.
But it's true. It's true.
This is what's going on now. Things have changed a lot. They really have. But I'm going to tell you, it was bad at one time. It was really bad.
Well, it is better, but there's a lot of room for improvement still.
Yeah, it's still bad, Dr. Emery, because I truly believe the problem is way deeper than training. It has to do with the way the system was originally set up, and it needs to be redone totally. They need to have mental evaluations of each and every police officer that wants to be on the force. If he cannot pass a battery of different tests to show the real true mindset that he has no right to be on the police department, because he will never protect and serve. He will only bully, and that he will be emboldened by having weapons in his possession he can legally use, and it's qualified immunity. That's messed up. A lot of these cops believe that that's going to get them off, and it has for many years. It's not right.
Yeah.
Well, you have one that had passed the test. Remember the one that taunted that young girl who went through the academy and did the test. So I really believe that these people are savvy in their deliberation, and has to go a further, because I don't know how extensive the test is, but you have a people who know people who can share with them what the test is. Let's be real here.
Say this, say that.
And they know how to pass a test and get by.
That's
I looked at the man and knew there was something wrong with him, okay, who took this girl and killed her parents in the home, all right? And we talked about this a while back, but he passed the test, okay? He was on the police force. However, many passed the test. And I would go to very extensive testing because there's a lot of things that are hidden. There's a lot of these men that are coming out of war zones, who have come out of war zones. There are some who have come out of families or have a sense of entitlement. Let's deal with their logic of thinking, because it has to go further than what has been the test that they have been given.
Right.
It has to be more defined, because you have some people who could pass a lie detector test now, okay? Because they know, you know, what they're looking for. And if you tighten up, if you twinge up, even if you twinge up your buttocks, okay? Let's just be honest here. People know what to do. So how do we get past the and I'm into, and Mike knows that I'm into a resolve. I mean, we talk about this and it's good for us to talk about, but what do we do, to combat this when you have so many who
Great
are
question.
Not honest, you know?
Great question. I will tell you, here in California, there's something called POST, which is Peace Officer Standards and Training. That's implemented for all law enforcement throughout California. And you go through, I went through it back in 83, so it's been a while, but I mean, it was a rigorous testing process, and you had a full psychological evaluation you had to go through. You went through a polygraph, and there's a reason why polygraphs aren't allowed in court, by the way, because they can be circumvented. So we went through psychological profiling, we went through lie detector tests, and the departments don't want these problems on their departments. So we go to great lengths to weed out the bad apples, as William put it. So I don't know how much more could be done. There must be something, because it's evidently a huge problem, as we see, especially in the last couple of weeks. And it's been going on for a very long time. I think it is better than it used to be back when Dr. Demery was working out of Fontana. By the way, in Fontana, back when he was there in the day, the grand wizard for the KKK resided in Fontana.
That's exactly George right.
His name was yep. George Pepper.
There you go. So, and then,
I got a call to his house once. That's a whole other story.
I'll give you a quick little story. Now, I started in 83, and I was on a mounted team back then, and we did a lot of PR stuff, and they were having a parade going down. I forget if it was Baseline or Foothill. I forget, but it was a sanctioned parade. They had all their permits, and we were out there on horseback to keep the peace and to, you know, get some PR work out of it. And we were there to protect the people in the parade. The parade was a KKK parade.
Mm.
And this is in the early 80s, and I'm sure they'd been doing it for a while. So we were paid to go out there and protect the KKK, which a lot of Fontana at the time liked, because it was a steel mill town, mostly white in orientation, and we had to go out there and keep the peace. And my mother's words, I think I told William about this. My mother was a kid of her time, and she used to tell us three kids, she says, trash comes in all colors.
Yeah.
And I understood all that. I'm sitting on my horse, name is Windsor. I'm sitting on my horse. I'm watching this nonsense, this poison, walking down the street in celebration of the parade. And I'm watching this, and my mother's words came back to me. But in the reverse, if trash comes in all colors, then good must come in all colors as well.
Wow.
So I thank my mother for raising us the way she raised us. And yeah, that was a pivotal point for me. Like, why do we even allow this? Why do we allow this? And I believe it stopped shortly after that.
So, you know, Mike, go ahead, Danny. No, go ahead.
See, one thing I want us to be cognizant of, how do we allow the people that are supposed to make laws, and these certain individuals have gained positions within the legislation bodies,
that are racist, and there's no problem with that. And they have laws on the book that protect the KKK.
Wow.
On the book right now.
I will protect them from your freedom of speech. They have every right to spew their poison. I don't have to like it, though. But, you know, this is America, and you do have free speech. Because if you say this group can't speak freely, then where's that going to stop? So you've got to let free speech be allowed. And I think it actually works against them, because when people see how vile and hateful and what horrible evil they are, it gets into the sunshine, and sunshine is a great disinfectant. So let them spew their hatred. Let them do it, because eventually it'll come around and bite them in the you know what.
But Mike, when you have a Marjorie Taylor Greene and this guy that's the Speaker of the House right now, and these people are on a roll right now, and there is I don't see any control over them. Like you say, they doing.
Well, they have one guy that just became a member of the House, and everything he told about his background and all was a complete and total lie. So, and he's still allowed. How can you have somebody that's part of making our laws here in America and enforcing the laws, so to speak, in America? How can you have somebody that's a flagrant, self-admitted liar be part of Congress? How does that happen in America?
But if you look at a lot of their history, a whole lot of them liars up there, okay?
Yeah.
They don't know how to get it through. And they bank their logic on an ignorant people. And that is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal, and here's what I've been hearing. We are the ones who make them. And this is what I used to teach in corporate. You're who you are because of us. If we were not working, if we were not supportive financially, you would not get paid, period.
Mm-hmm.
So your little pyramid needs to be turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Let the point come to us. And this is what I taught in corporate and CEOs. And I taught them your arrogance, all of this, you cannot walk around in arrogance when you need the little peons to make you successful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? My thing is you ought to be turning flips on making them happy. You ought to be turning flips into changing your character, because without them, and I tell this even where I live, without me, there's no you. Okay, period. It is what it is. And people don't like to hear that, because they walk in this superiority attitude. Amen. Like they got what they got without you. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. It is
back to that ego.
It is because of the people the White House exists, period. Okay. Now, I told my daughter, and I had her laugh, and I said, the dissension between the parties are horrible. And I know what William said, you're going to get into that later. But I think this applies, because if you have people in that White House who are lawless themselves, what do you expect is going to trickle down to the nation? When you have people up there who's supposed to exemplify for the people, by the people, like they talk out of the side of their mouth, and it's all about them. They have such a camaraderie and war within themselves. I mean, a storm could come. They care less about us. Okay?
That's exactly right.
What it is. So what do you expect the law enforcement? What do you expect shyster doctors? What do you expect the law? The word of God says the law is for the lawless. They get by with what they get by with, because you scratch your back, I'm going to scratch yours. I'm a cover up. I'm not going to hold you accountable. But me, if I get a ticket, if I open my mouth, I'm thrown under the jail. Mm. Let's call a spade a spade. It is not right. But they've made their wrongs right. Mm. And so guess what? You have an ignorant people, people who are walking around in fear, feeling like they have no voice, and they are afraid to speak because that's been instilled in them. And it is wrong as the day, as the sun comes up, it's wrong. So why not? Why can't the police officers act like they act? Why can't the nurses, some shiesty nurses and doctors and politicians act like they act? They're not going to be held accountable, because you have a law that's going to stand for a certain people, and the law is going to get passed over with a certain group of people. Money talks, okay? and BS well, walks. You know,
come on, you're preaching right now, Dr. Sims.
It is what it is. It is what it is. And my thing is this, and Dr. Demi, I see you. I am so sick of, and then too, I'm going to go to the wheelhouse in the church. Their palms have been greased. So guess what? If they were to speak up and talk about the word of God, it would change some stuff. But because they are lawless too, okay? And so they have fallen into the category. So we got a world of misfits when it comes to law.
Wow.
Okay? When it comes to adhering the law, when it comes to implementing the law, Jesus gave us the law, which was the Ten Commandments. Come on here.
And we don't follow.
Not applying those laws only to some, only to some, but to the masses, they get by because my palms gonna get greased, baby. You know, I like what I'm doing. I love what I'm feeling, this power, this energy, this anxiety. I love to see the people jump through hoops. Mm-hmm. But if the people in a nation would get educated and feel, know that their level of power, we really are the ones that got the power, but we don't know we got it.
That's exactly
because
right.
Because it's been secretly snatched from us.
That's exactly right. Dr. Demery.
This is more in Ann's wheelhouse, and Ann, I hope you would comment. When you look at Lady Law, he's blindfolded.
Come on.
He holds the scales. There's a reason for that. Because the law is supposed to be blindfolded. It's supposed to be weighed out in scales that are even. But here's the issue. I think that, and I know Mike would probably agree, when I was a cop, we didn't have psychological evaluations.
Wow.
The only we had was a board of police officers that asked you some questions, and you got hired or not hired. You didn't take any tests.
Wow.
I want to say, it has gotten better, and you can weed out the bad apples. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a point where I was on this police commission where I got asked to interview future police officers. And I would say, just like I've said when I've been on panels with ministers, this person don't need to be nowhere near it. I don't think where the church is.
Wow.
I got a chance to interview. I said, no, there's no way this guy needs to be a police officer. So it goes back to critical race theory. And I know it swings back around because part of the critical race theory deals with Reinhold Niebuhr and also deals with Paul Tillich. Those are names you probably don't know. But Paul Tillich is the one that said, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
If you feel you are an absolute power, you will be corrupted. From the White House, outhouse, and everything in between.
That's exactly right.
Go back and try to change the mentality of people because when they feel so empowered, that's why you get these people with a gun and they'll go into a crowded room and start shooting because they feel as though they have absolute power.
Right.
When you take the absolute power away and you become accountable for your actions, and we know this. Unfortunately, some of you may disagree with this, and that's okay. We'll have William will probably start another discussion about this. That's why the death penalty is so effective, because people know that if you go out and kill
someone,
there's a strong chance that they stick you with a needle or put you in a gas chamber.
Wow.
And